Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, thanks for joining us once again. Episode number 25. I am Crew Chief Tony, along with the Professor Brandon Crowd. How you doing, buddy?
What up?
Another good week?
Hell yeah, man.
Man, the Dover.
Dover, that was crazy.
Miles the Monster was hungry.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
That was pretty crazy.
Yes.
But good racing.
Hell yeah.
Didn't turn out exactly how we thought it was going to.
No.
A little surprise ending, but...
Yeah. That's we'll get to that later.
That's part of the game, but... Yes. Man, another great week. Social media, downloads, all that good stuff, and want to thank everybody. But we have a guest on the other line.
Yes, we do.
You want to...
Hell yeah. Joining us, new Michigan International Speedway track president, Rick Brenner. Rick, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Hanging out on a doing great. Beautiful sunny day here in Michigan and getting ready for a big weekend coming up here in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for taking time out. I know you're probably a little busy right now, just getting ready for the race.
Yeah, we're all... Yeah, well, you know, there's a great team here, great group of people, and, you know, they're cranking right now, and it's just it's a privilege and a pleasure to be a part of it.
Awesome. Well, MIS is our home track, and we're excited to be out there in a couple weeks. I mean, I grew up and have been going there since I was a little kid. Tony's been going there forever. Tell us, Rick, what kind of special events do you guys have going on for, like, the early campers and people that are going to be out there for the whole weekend?
We've just had a great time brainstorming as a group and putting together a great bunch of great fun things to do, really building upon a lot of great things that were already here. But we've added some areas in all the campgrounds, some kind of gathering areas, and we're going to be running everything from, euchre tournaments to having different bands in and around. We've got the free concert Skid Row Candlebox back on Saturday night. That's free with your Sunday ticket. We've got everything from church service on Sunday to workout groups. Thursday, we're running trips into Jackson. There's a prison tour, and then at the Grand River Brewery, a nice night, nice little party in the parking lot there for our fans. And then we're running buses also into Lenawee and Brooklyn. And on that Wednesday night, prior to the race, there's the Hauler Tour. The ARCA Hauler Tour is going to roll through Brooklyn. So we've just got a whole bunch of little things that add up to a whole lot of fun.
That's awesome. Rick, did I read correctly that the US 50 campground site is like being turned into like the party central? Like it's going to have like a bar open till 3-4 in the morning or something like that?
Yeah, that was something that had been done in the past, and we kind of took a little bit of the tethers off and let it out a little bit more.
Okay.
But the idea is, if you want to come and just have a good time and enjoy yourself till 3-4 in the morning, we got a place for you to do that. If that's what you desire. And if you want to stay in one of our other campgrounds and have more traditional campground activities and bedtime and that kind of stuff—not bedtime, but curfew time and quiet time. we have that for you too. So really trying to build off of the momentum that was created around that and just give people a place to go be whatever they want to be. And that kind of follows the theme. If you want to go to church on Sunday morning, it's here. If you don't, you don't have to. If you want to check out dueling pianos or one of the ice cream trucks that are rolling through, we've got a pedal bar. You guys have probably been down to Ann Arbor, Detroit, and you've seen those pedal bars that kind of go around downtown. Yeah, we got one of those coming to patrol the campground. So, there's just a whole lot going on, just little things. Again, that if you're into it and you want to have fun, it's here. Over in Graves, we have a walking trail through the woods that we've lit up with LED lights that we set to different musical themes and stuff on different nights. So there's a whole lot of really cool stuff going on.
And did I hear, too, you guys have like a, lack of a better term, taxi cab service, golf cart taxi cab or something?
That.
Or
Yeah, MIS Taxi. So it's a company that comes in with golf carts, and they'll take you anywhere you want to go. You want to go visit a friend in a campground, call the number or wave one down, and they'll take you. Want to go into the infield and have a good night, same thing. So they're here. Important thing for fans to know, it does not replace any services we had before. So if you have ADA needs or the trams, any of those kinds of things that you're relying on, all those things are still here and available to you. But this is just in addition to for convenience if you want to get around.
Awesome. You know, I've been to 100 tracks, 1,000 races. That's a new one
for me.
That's
awesome.
I like that one.
Are there any limited hours for that taxi service, Rick?
You know, I would assume there are, but I'm not aware of what they are. Okay. So we'll just go with reasonable hours, right? We'll go with whatever you think is reasonable,
right.
and we'll leave that up to whoever decides. But it's a great service, and it's really neat thing to give fans the opportunity to get around. It's a big place. There's 1,400 acres here, 9,000 campsites, and it really gives people the ability to be more mobile than if they just were here by themselves.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I always like about Michigan is the concourse area, where the manufacturers and sponsors and vendors and everything is out there. Something to do all weekend long. One of the other things that I think is kind of unique to Rick's background here, and I don't know how many people know this, aside from being in minor league baseball, but you went to the Disney Institute. Is that correct?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. It seems like a while ago. I'm an old alumni. I haven't had my 20-year reunion yet, but we're getting there.
but where I'm going with that, though,
is
with both of those, with Disney and with minor league baseball, your touch points with customers are critical. What kind of things are going on in the concourse area, in the fan area before the race that we're going to be looking forward to this year?
Yeah, well, thank you. So you're kind of... when I say lots of little things, right? So it's touch points, it's opportunities for people to interact, and it's all choice. But we've got everything out there from sword swallower to street performers. We've got a wood carving show. We've got a gorilla show. You have to come to figure that one out. I'm not going to elaborate on it. But it's perfectly well within the means. There's no alarms. It's good treatment of the animals. If they're animals, you'll have to come figure that one out. You might see a guy or a gal, you know, riding a unicycle juggling chainsaws, right? You might see fire acts, and they're all strolling street performers. We also have a stage out there, some happy hour pricing, some good stuff like that. So it's just going to be, we're just trying to take what's traditionally been here and add a little bit to it. If you choose to participate, you can. And if you don't, that's okay too. Should be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
You know, in the other thing that I've noticed too with MIS, especially over the last couple of years, it's growing. The more and more, it's not just like two weekends of NASCAR. You've got the Formula SAE races. I've been out there for those. You got the faster horses. You guys have a lot of stuff going on other than the NASCAR race. You guys have lots of
there is a lot going on. Yeah, and we just announced a partnership with Nightlights here in the area too, which will bring in, it's a holiday drive-through. It's going to be like a 3-mile holiday drive-through LED and light display, which will be neat. That starts right before Thanksgiving and runs through through the end of the calendar year. So that's going to be a neat event for families in the area and people in the region. And faster horses, of course, this year you really can't beat the lineup. You've got some big headliners in Dierks Bentley, Miranda Lambert, and Luke Bryan, and then you've just got acts, just Cole Swindell, High Valley, Maddie and Tay, Old Dominion. I mean, you just keep going down the list. It's one big name after another, and 3 days of just an awesome time here at
Hills. What are the dates for Faster Horses?
July 21 to 23.
Awesome. Very cool.
July 21 to 23. Great. And, you go to fasterhorses.com, fasterhorsesfestival.com, and everything you need to know is right there.
Hey, very cool. Hey, Rick, so this is your first races track president at MIS. You're making the move from minor league baseball over to NASCAR. What's been your biggest adjustment with that, and what's something like that you're most looking forward to your first race weekend?
Well, so the thing I'm most looking forward to the whole race week is just the fans and the people and having people here and interacting and seeing the impact of the things that we're doing and watching people enjoy themselves. That's really where the thrill in this job comes from. It's our job here to facilitate. We facilitate the best drivers in the world on the fastest track in the world, and we facilitate the needs of the best fans in the world attending our events and having a good time. And there's so many different people here for so many different reasons, and that's the part that has always been the love that I have for events. And I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to is, you know, completing the weekend, getting through it, and then continuing to work with the team here to enhance even August. We've got a lot of new things coming from our parade lap that's going to go through the infield for the first time in NASCAR history to, you know, all kinds of different little treats and things. And again, I can't emphasize enough, it's little things that make a big difference. And people have to realize you can get a ticket here for $30, $35 for the weekend. Kids are free on Friday and Saturday, and you can camp for $170 for a week. So there's an incredible value here, and it really is all what you choose to make of it. And we're just excited to be a part of facilitating it for everybody.
Yeah, well, tell us more about the parade lap. We had heard about this, but explain more. What is that?
So essentially, you know, the parade lap, the driver intro lap, the parade lap where the drivers kind of, you know, traditionally go around the track and wave and say hello, there's going to be a portion of it that will cut through our infield. And again, just building on that NASCAR tradition of bringing the drivers close to the fans, we've worked it out so that we're able to have that happen. We'll be tossing out some tchotchkes and stuff out of the last truck to give fans a treat, some special gifts. And we're just really, really looking forward to seeing how people react to it, and just you know, look, it's just doing things differently and thinking outside the box and trying to continue to raise the bar on the entertainment that's here.
Well, I got to tell you, just the stuff that you're telling us about, it's all stuff I've never seen any of these things.
No,
any racetrack I've ever gone to.
No, it's I'm like I said, we've been going there for years, and I am I can't wait to get out there.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm probably more excited this year than I
yeah.
probably have.
My wife calls this my second Christmas. She knows how awesome and how much I look forward to MIS in June. It's the first race we get to go to from a geographic standpoint. So
yeah,
we
live races.
Yes,
this kicks off our season.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Yeah.
Look, and here's the thing we haven't really talked about, right? So you got the Corgan Oil 200, the ARCA race on Friday night. You've got the Xfinity Series, the 250 on Saturday. And then you've got the Monster Cup, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, Firekeepers Casino 400 on Sunday with the best drivers in the world and the fastest track in the world. So all the other stuff we've been talking about this whole time, it's all free, it's all additional, and it's all fun. So really looking forward to seeing how people react to it.
Yeah, no, that's and I like the ARCA race is always
ARCA's
so good.
ARCA's great.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great series. That's Friday night.
Friday. Yeah.
I love it.
That's Friday night. Yeah.
Rick, one of the things
it'll be a lot of fun.
One of the things that we've got to see on social media, you know, we know how great MIS is. But getting to interact with our listeners across the country that have made the trip up to MIS and have told us on Twitter and Facebook just how awesome MIS is compared to other tracks in terms of just doing it the right way. And that's been awesome as that being my home track to know that people across the country look to MIS as a staple in terms of the event and the weekend that you guys put on.
And, you know, the other thing is we've heard this too, Rick. I mean, from our listeners, but from NASCAR drivers, from their crews. I mean, they've all told us Michigan is. I mean, that's one of their top destinations. So keep up the good work, man.
Yeah.
And you know what, man?
Yeah.
And thanks again for taking out time. I know you're busy as anything. Is, you know, anything else you want to throw in there? Because we're going to be there. We're excited as anything. But we're happy that you're on the show and keep up the good work.
No, thank you. There's a great team here again. I can't thank them enough. Really proud to have joined them and be a part of it. And for fans that are wondering, kids are free Friday and Saturday. You can pick up your tickets at mispeedway.com. And we really look forward to hosting you and being your host for a weekend. And it'll be an unforgettable time. Don't miss it.
All right.
Awesome, man.
Right,
thank you so much.
Thanks
we'll
a
see
lot.
Ya.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Wow. How awesome was that, man?
Well, you know, the guy's busier than anything right now. I mean, you know, huge race. It's his first race, too, so everything's got to go perfectly, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, take time off.
No, that was very, very cool and generous of him to...
The traffic family.
Hail yeah.
Very cool. Thanks, Rick Brenner.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to him again.
Yeah.
And speaking of thanks, big thanks to Sherwin.
Hell yeah, man.
Last week. That was a good show. And, you know, I was working in the garage, and it was, you know, it was good.
It was very well received. Over 350 downloads for that show last week, and over 450 total last week. We're creeping up there.
So you know, so you talked about that, like our 25th show.
25th show, right now. Quarter century, man. How awesome is that? Right?
And but we're nearing 10,000 downloads.
10,000 downloads.
You know, what are we? 8,500 or something.
We're right
like
around
that.
There.
We're not
yeah.
far from hitting that 10,000 mark.
Yeah.
So
that's so cool, man.
Yeah, it really so is. Cool. So yeah, thanks again to the PETM crew.
Hell yeah. Hell
and
yeah.
We're gonna be doing more with them.
Yes. Yes.
So thanks again. That was cool. And they, you know, they tweeted it out and
dude, Sherwin was a machine tweeting about that. Yeah. Machine.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
So thanks, bud.
Yeah. Tony, what'd you do over the weekend? Anything fun?
No.
No?
No. Laid under my car and unbolted the engine, finally getting that out. And
yeah?
Yeah.
So, did you get it shipped out yet or no?
No. No. It's going coming out Thursday. But,
nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
So, yeah. Come to any, if you see, you'll see me standing on the corner here. I'll be selling pencils and you know, what's a slightly used kidney worth these days?
Right. Hey, it might be. Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at $8,000 minimum.
Wow.
You know, in North, it'll probably be in the 11-12 range.
That's
by the
crazy.
Time we're all done. So
that's crazy. Better have that thing up and running for Woodward.
Yeah,
though.
We're done talking about.
All
that,
right. So next, moving on. Yeah, so I got what I do this weekend. Let's see here. Friday did some drinking. Usual. Saturday, my buddy Zaylin, he's got his new house. And so we went over there and hung out with him for a little bit and checked out the new house.
Nice.
Yes. Yes. Very cool.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes.
Easy.
Yes. I doubt he listens. Yeah. He's
you know what? He still holds the record
for most beers drank in an hour.
A lot of times we have people, they'll come and watch us record and whatever. And he was wailing on him one night. I mean, I don't know, in an hour. I don't know, it was like 10
yeah.
or something like that.
I think it was like I think we recorded like on a Friday that day, though. Like, it was a weird thing that he was even able to be here, but still.
Justify it however you want. He still wailed on 10 beers in an hour.
That's a true story. True story.
Still a record.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes.
No, that's cool. He got a new house, and that's that's pretty cool.
Yes.
So.
All right, should we talk some racing?
We should probably do that.
We should do that. Tony, it was cool this weekend at Dover. All three series ran, which was nice to have. We had our truck race, stage one, Ryan Truex, stage two, Matt Crafton, and Johnny Sauter got the W, which was very cool to see him back in victory lane. It was his first win of the season, but he's put together a nice run with
he does it quietly.
Five top fives in six races, which is it's pretty good considering who he's running against out there.
He's
some days.
He does it quietly. He's someone to be dealt with. I can tell you that.
Absolutely,
he's very good.
I felt bad for Ryan Truex. Like I said, I've mentioned quite a few times. I know his PR guy and. They put together a hell of a first half of the race. Yeah. They finished first in stage one and second in stage two and brought home a top 10, which is still good. But that's a bummer when you're up there and a trail off towards the end there. But those guys are putting it together. So.
Oh, yeah. That's not the last we've heard of them.
No. And I think his brothers are pretty good. I'm sure, you know, I don't know. I think I've heard that name
heard
before. I could be wrong.
Truex. Rings a bell.
Just a bit, a little bit. Tony, anything else from the truck race there?
No, I enjoy that racing so much, and I just think it's real. I mean, these are young guys, and there's guys that are 18, 19 years old, and, you know.
Well, Kaz Grala, our truck Daytona winner, finished in second. I mean, it's fun to watch those guys because they're a little more careless. And not in a bad way. They're hungry. They want to make a name for themselves. They know there's limited seats in Xfinity. There's limited seats in Cup. So they're out there.
Those boys, they're driving at 10 tenths.
Yes.
Not, there's nothing being held back at all.
No. Nope.
Almost to a fault sometimes.
Yeah.
But you got to applaud the aggressiveness and, you know, you can't criticize them, you know, not trying. I can tell you.
No.
That.
They're out there.
They are pushing. So,
Tony, it was interesting. And I'm going to continue on with this through the rest of the show here when we're talking about the races. There were eight cautions for the truck race at Dover.
Yeah.
And that started a caution filled weekend if you will, throughout there. So eight is the number for the truck race, and we're going to have a tally as we roll through here.
You know what's nice about Dover there? There's not a flat piece of land anywhere there, so it's like self-cleaning. You know, you spin, it just
down
flushes everyone to the center.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Tony, standings, man, I tell you, I can't wait for the playoffs every week. Broken record, man. Johnny Sauter's got 8 playoff points, and Christopher Bell's got 7, and that's basically it. Couple ones and a lot of zeros. So when these guys recede, man, it's going to be anybody's game, and I can't wait.
Yep. Ben Rhodes, Christopher Bell, young guys in there going up against the veterans.
Yeah, you Matt know, Crafton.
Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter.
Yeah.
So this is shaping up really, really good.
I love
good.
It. I yeah, love
really
it.
Good.
I told Lindsay to cross off anything from October through November. Like, I'm unavailable Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, don't call. You can tweet because I'll answer tweets, but don't call me. There's no dinner. There's no friend. There's nothing that those 2 months.
Yeah.
So next week. She loved me when I said that one. Let me tell you.
Yes, thank you.
You want to know what she did because of that? She brought home some nasty ass sugar free popsicles. Man. Like, who eats that
you
shit?
You are the most high maintenance. Jesus Christ, man. Go buy your own.
Right.
There's a suggestion.
Yeah. Nope. Sorry. I don't go to grocery stores, man. Nope. Sorry. Tony, this week the trucks are at Texas, while Xfinity and Cup are at Pocono.
Super fast track.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but we'll get to it.
No, I mean Texas. I was talking about
Texas.
Yeah,
oh,
Texas.
Yeah.
They're going to be hauling ass there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Tony, this was the last Dash for Cash Xfinity race, which was a lot of fun. Stage one, Kyle Larson. Stage two, Bubba Wallace, who I think we're going to talk about a little later.
Yep.
And race winner, Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson took advantage, again, of some of the bigger cup guys, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, not running, and was able to pull off a victory. Ryan Blaney brought it home second. So a couple cup guys up top. But what impressed me the most was Cole Custer, rookie, Xfinity rookie, brought it home fourth. Ryan Reed, our Daytona winner for Xfinity, brought it home fifth. William Byron, Elliott Sandler. We had a lot of Xfinity guys.
And didn't
up there in the
William
top 10.
Byron, he won the $100,000.
Yes, he did.
19 years old. He's like, yeah, this is going to go right to my student loans.
Yes,
and,
sir. Right.
Thank you very much.
And yes, Tony, are you ready for our caution tally update
let's
here?
Bring it. I didn't count any of these. So.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I didn't necessarily keep track. It was 8 for the truck, and there were 10 caution flags for the Xfinity race.
We're up to 18.
We are up to 18 cautions in two races. Tony, there was a lot of tire shredding in the Xfinity race, and I hope you'll elaborate on that when we get to the crew chief corner there, sir.
We can talk about that for sure.
Let's see. Last Dash for Cash. Like I said, a lot of Xfinity guys, Xfinity regulars, got top 10s. A lot of Xfinity regulars got stage or extra points with how they finished in the first two stages. And that's something that I really like to see. I'm glad the format for the Dash for Cash races puts a limit on if you're a cup guy, when you can run on that.
Right, right.
I think it's good for these four races. Let these young guns get out there and make a name for themselves.
Yep, I really like that.
Yes. Standings, no real shakeup with the Xfinity standings either there. And
William Byron, again.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's sitting in third place. I mean, Sadler and Allgaier, those guys have been around a long time. They're good drivers.
Yeah.
Byron's got they've got a decade of experience on this guy.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know, and he is right there.
I got my eye on Hemric and Cole Custer.
Yeah.
Custer, like I said, he brought home a top five this week. He's had a couple bad weeks, but he started out the season strong too. So I would not be surprised if Hemric and Cole Custer are right up there as rookies competing for the Xfinity Championship, which I think is
I wouldn't
awesome.
Rule that out at all.
No, sir. No, sir.
headed to Pocono. Want to hit some social media?
Duh. All right, everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Tony, you cracked the 400 likes marks on Facebook there.
I did.
Yeah, moving right up on that. And we're almost up to 1,100 Twitter followers at LapTrafficPC. Make sure you check out our show on iTunes or Podbean. Search The Lap Traffic. Subscribe. Leave us some comments. We still got our contest going on. We are almost there. Just under 1,500 more downloads. And we are giving away that multiple MIS autograph picture with
a ton. We'll have to actually list that out.
Oh, everyone who's on there? I can do that. Yeah, I know Jack Rouse is on there. I think Casey Kane.
Carl
Edwards. There's a ton on there. I'd have to double check. But yeah, there's some nice names on that that assign that. It's a nice picture. So again, that's going to one lucky follower of the Lap Traffic PC on Twitter.
So that'll be in the next month or so?
Easily. Yeah. Easily. Yeah. Once we hit the 10,000 mark, we'll give it away the following show.
Yep.
Tony, some shout-outs to some new followers on Facebook. Susie William, big Jeff Gordon fan. Tony Imbiri from Jefferson City, Missouri, big senior fan. And Steve Masters, a big Kyle Busch Motorsports fan. Over to Twitter, some new followers. Richard Bedouin at RBDOINER, who's a big Junior Nation member. Blake Pass at BPass 12, who Tony, he's a big Ryan Newman fan. And when I saw him come aboard, I wrote his name down because I haven't seen too many Ryan Newman fans.
Yeah,
so
Rushville Rocket.
Hell yeah. Tracy Lynn at Tracy Race Fan 24, big Jeff Gordon fan, obviously. And welcome to Craig Silloway, and I forgot to write down your Twitter handle, who's an Army vet, so thank you for your service, and a big WWE fan, so you struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the show.
You are officially in Brandon's good graces.
Hell
now.
Yeah. Yep. So, welcome aboard, everybody. Make sure you tell your friends. Thanks for following us. And hit us up. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, and if you guys ever go to a race, you want to send us anything, by all means, send us some pictures. It's all going up here in the man cave. We actually got something last week. One of our listeners bought us a NASCAR Monopoly game.
Nice.
I'd never seen that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did give that to me.
I'd never seen that before. Yeah. And that was
local
really cool.
Guy saw it.
Yeah, local guy. Yeah, he found it and donated it to the man cave, so we'll have that on display.
Yes, sir.
And if you want to send us anything, you can reach us at the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, our store's going well, man. Thank you to everyone that's supported the show in t-shirt, mug, koozie. I got my Lap Traffic sippy cup here filled with some Tito sugar-free.
Yep.
So thank you. Again, that's it's out there for you guys if you want to support the show and support the Lap Traffic at the races or wherever. We appreciate that.
Speaking of races, what are you doing, what are we doing in Michigan?
We're going to do some kind of tweet up. We're going to kind of try to piggyback off of maybe some of the bigger beat writers out there. And stay tuned to Twitter and the show. Next week, when we post show 26, is the week before MIS. We'll have all that information for you.
We're going to have stuff to give away to
everybody. Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of stuff to give away, Tony, our koozies are here. Our stickers
got one in my hand.
Are here. Stay tuned. I'll tweet that out in the next week or so to send in some requests when I know I can sit down for an hour or so and be able to mail all that stuff out. So they're here. We'll have them at MIS along with some shirts and stuff like that to give away. And so
we'd love to meet some of you guys.
Absolutely. We cannot wait. Let's see here.
Fantasy.
Fantasy. There wasn't a lot of fantasy for me on that week at Dover. Just a reminder, make sure you guys get your picks in this week for Pocono. Tony, what? I wrote down on here, now that we got all of our stuff, I'm ready to announce the prizes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, sir. All right, so here we go.
What am I winning, Bob?
Yeah, you are disqualified there, sir, because you've got access to anything in the man cave, so you are disqualified. So to our first place winner, our first fan listener winner that's playing the Lap Traffic inaugural fantasy league. The winner is going to get an 8x10 autograph of their favorite driver. Tony, I don't care who it is.
Oh, wow.
If they win, they're getting an autograph of their favorite driver. So if you guys remember a couple weeks ago, I sent out a thing to tell me who your favorite driver was so that we could make sure we incorporate them into the show.
Oh, man. That was BS.
That was just so I could get a list of everyone's favorite driver so that I knew I had one ready to go for the race, for the winner.
It's Gray Golding. You got to go find him now.
So the race, the winner of the Fantasy League is going to get an autographed picture of their favorite driver, as well as a Lapped Traffic t-shirt of their choice with some stickers and koozies. That's for the winner. Second place is going to get an autograph of their favorite driver along with some stickers and koozies. Third place is going to get a Lap Traffic t-shirt, some stickers and koozies. And fourth and fifth place, some stickers and koozies. So now you guys know what you're actually playing for. I think shit's about to get real now. Yeah. So watch out, Tony. Yeah. Right. So now on to this week's results.
You know what I just realized?
What's that, sir?
Koozie's a funny word. Isn't that a weird word?
It is a funny word.
Koozie.
Anyways. Big shakeup this week. Tony, seven players picked Jimmy Johnson.
Wow. Way to go out on a limb.
Chad for the win. Chris Collier, Steve Merrick, Mick 42, Urban, Zaylin, Jared, and Wes all picked Jimmy Johnson. Tony, the top three players, including yourself, did not score any points this week. Allowing Aaron to jump up and tie you for first place with 95 points.
You know, I was hitting it pretty hard here.
You had a good run, man.
A good run, but you know what? I got to save some of these for the end.
That's right.
Use them five times.
That's right.
So I was kind of going into fuel save mode.
Conservation mode, right? Yep. You need to save some laps.
And actually, so Kenseth had that. The flat tire.
Dude, he's killed me, man.
But he went down like three laps.
Yeah.
He got them all back and was 13th. I mean, he was coming through.
Yep.
You know, so he darn near almost got a top 10 there. So
let's see here. We've got a four-way tie for second with Cody, Colby, Rich, and Wes. John's got a sole place, third place lead with 85. Chris and Mick are tied for fourth with 80. And Jeff wraps out the top five with 75.
Where you at?
I'm losing ground. I'm still in 10th. But that point lead, man, it's stretching. I think I have 45, maybe.
I'm going to tell you, there's about 7-8 people here that are within, you know, I just.
Striking distance. Yes.
Yeah, well.
I'm not throwing the towel in yet. It sucks. And I'm throwing the towel in on DraftKings. I'm done. I'm done for fantasy. until Pocono.
You know, until who was it? Until Reagan Smith went out.
Yeah.
There was like 3,600 people in this DraftKings thing. And I was second.
Yeah.
I was number two. Out until right until then, and I dropped back to 120th or something.
I was in the money on a couple 50-50s until Blaney went out. And when he went out, that cost me.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yes. Tony, Cup, man. Jimmy Johnson brings home. Checkered flag.
Boy's good.
Truex, man. Truex is running away with these frickin' stage playoff points, man. This boy is
he's not winning.
Cashing him in. No. Well, I mean, he's got the one. He almost won this. But, yeah, well, you know what it was? He probably would have run this race if not for the golden horseshoe of Jimmy Johnson. I'm just playing into the media part on that.
No,
but
I mean, he's good. I mean,
he's awesome. Well, and so, Tony, he got his 83rd win, and he tied Cale Yarbrough there, right?
Yep.
So I was just kind of curious. I went and looked up some numbers for Jimmy Johnson, and I think this is interesting. Tony, Johnson, 83 wins on the big stage, right? Mm-hmm. His first full season in Cup was in 2002, and as a rookie, he got three wins, which was awesome. Tony, he ran a few Xfinity races in 98 and 99. He only ran two full seasons in Xfinity, 2000, 2001. Tony, he ran 93 Xfinity races and only has one win.
Yeah.
He has one truck race in 2008. So he really didn't race that much in truck. 93 Xfinity races, that's a lot with only one win. What if you're an owner looking at a guy and you see a guy not really doing much, What was the trigger that led to, like, hey, this guy's got something? And obviously he did. He's got 83 Cup wins, but he really wasn't showing that early on in his Xfinity career and all that.
Yeah, well, I think what really happened, what transitioned for him is when, so he had it in his head, this is how he had to drive a car, and that's all there is to it. Clearly, he's got talent.
Yeah, oh, obviously.
Anybody has ever doubted any of that. But so when he, there's actually, it's a really, it's a good story, but he and Chad Knaus first got together, and they hated each other.
Yep. Yep.
You know, Chad wanted to go east, and he wanted to go west, and they were not on the same page, and they were both rock-headed, and that's how it had to be. Well, Rick Hendrick pulled him into his boardroom. You ever heard this one?
I think I did. Milk and cookies?
Yeah. So he called him into his office, and on the conference room table, he had a gallon of milk and some cookies, and he said, if y'all are going to act like a bunch of children, then you're going to, you know, here you are, have some milk and cookies.
Yeah, go watch SpongeBob.
Yeah, but you're not leaving this room until we get this figured out.
Yeah.
And they got on the same page, and, you know,
the rest is history.
The rest literally is history, because they're the best in the business.
Absolutely.
Those two guys are so good. And I think the thing with Jimmy is he just doesn't make mistakes.
No.
He doesn't quit, and he doesn't, I mean, he just hits his spots every time, and he's going to keep coming after you.
If the 48 finishes a lap down, 9 times out of 10, it's due to mechanical.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally he might get a speeding penalty, but you're right. He runs. You need to capitalize on a mistake that's not driver related to beat him.
He had a bad pit stop. You better run and hide.
Yeah,
because you know he's not going to give you much room out there. So
no, yeah. Nope.
You got to give him credit. You know, and I was thinking too about this. Really, what it came down to, I mean, Kyle Larson, obviously, he had that. He had it, right?
Yep.
But Jimmy Johnson just had the better restart.
Yes.
By a long shot. You know, and I think Kyle Larson, it reminded me, like, he's so close, and then he's losing on his restarts. Jeff Gordon was terrible on restarts. He has 90-some wins, and I'll bet he's had another 12 lost.
Yeah.
You know, just like that, just by Kyle Larson, same thing.
Yep.
It's hard. It's an art. You know, and Jimmy Johnson is just better at it.
Yeah.
And Kyle Larson will get it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's part of the game, and, you know, he won.
Yeah. You know, I think part of that might have had to do a little bit with the tires. And not the fact that, what I think it had to do with was the fact that they were running low on tires. And I wonder, maybe Larson might have worn his out a little bit more too. You know, they only got 8 sets of tires. And on the radio, you know, I was bouncing back and forth between Harvick and the 17. And I had Larson on towards the end there a little bit. Early in the race, after the first few cautions came out, everybody was like, is NASCAR going to give us more tires? Are we going to get more tires?
I know Chad and Jimmy were talking about it with 150 laps to go.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Hey, we've only got 3 more sets of tires. This should be interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So to roll on that, Tony, are you ready for the total number of cautions for the weekend?
Except we were at 18.
We were at 18. Tony, 33 total cautions.
They had 15 cautions?
15 cautions. Now, obviously, these also include the 2 stage cautions as well. But so that's 6.
Wow.
Still, that's a lot of cautions.
It really is.
For a place like Dover, you know? Well, 15 cautions. Yeah. All right. So let's say 13 legit cautions, if you will.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a ton of cautions this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Kurt Busch getting into Keselowski there, that kind of hurt my day a little bit in fantasy.
Didn't help.
And Stenhouse, like I said, it was Stenhouse that ruined my day on DraftKings, not Trevor Bay. Tony, as we go through the show notes here, I was made fun of again on Twitter for my massive amount of show prep and show notes here. So I just wanted to let everybody know we're on page 5 of the professor notes of
8,
well, 7.5.
Okay.
Tony, Kyle Busch had a little issue there on pit road.
You know, man, here's the thing. Okay. Clearly, I mean, it was just like he literally, human error, right? He had the gun on, you know, backwards, right?
Yeah.
But man, did I read it right? I mean, his crew chief is suspended for a month?
4 races. Now, that is,
holy cow, man.
That's what the max could be. There's talk, and there was even talk during the race that just because that's what the max they may not get that, but there is the potential for the crew chief and the crew member to be suspended for four races because of that.
Because clearly he did that intentionally.
Obviously. And of course the crew chief was down there, you know,
doing
hitting
it
the nuts.
Himself. Yeah.
You know, that just boggles my mind.
He got a hit in the nuts already.
Yeah, he did. They bounced back.
Dude,
they were running up until that last caution and all that at the end there. They were running second. You had the wheel fall off on pit road.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say what you want about Kyle Busch, and we've said some, you know, stuff about him, but the boy can drive a car, man. Like,
oh, totally.
Tony, I don't even know if Jimmy Johnson would have been able to wheel and have the patience and the stamina to do what he does with an incident like that.
I can tell you, so my two cents on it is you don't piss off Kyle Busch.
No.
Okay.
No.
And when he came out of there, all that happened, he left. He was pissed.
Yes. Yes.
And he drove it. He was pissed. And, you know, he'll get it right back up there. So I knew that was going to happen. It wasn't a big surprise to me because he was extra incentive
to get
through there. But good job, I mean, to recover.
But that, you know, that's another thing I give him credit for is, you know, it is a human error element, right? Like, whether you're the perfect driver in the world, the perfect crew or crew chief, eventually you're going to make a mistake.
Sure.
What demonstrates a great team there is being able to bounce back, whether it's the crew making up for the driver's mistake or the driver making up for a crew mistake. I mean, that's a team effort there, and that demonstrates, you know, the team mentality of a race team.
Yeah. I mean, you know, your quarterback's going to throw an interception.
Right.
You
got to come.
Happen.
The defense got to come back and help it.
Stuff like that's going to happen.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job.
Yeah,
truthfully.
Tony, random side note. I don't know if you noticed, but Ross Chastain drove all 800 laps at Dover. I mean, he was the only guy that drove the all three there.
I did see that.
You know, and he didn't do horrible. He finished 15th in the truck, finished 21st in Xfinity, and 20th on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, for a guy in, you know, okay equipment and all that, you know, and a younger guy, like, not bad.
It's a lot of driving.
It's a lot of driving.
So,
well, I mean, it's not just the 800 laps, but it's practice for all three series, qualifying for all three series. You spent a lot of time on that track.
If you go on Twitter, apparently he and Brendan Gaughan aren't real good friends.
Brendan
said he set a record for the being flipped off by the most drivers in a three-day period. So
I noticed that.
So, I don't think they're hanging out this
weekend. No, they're not having a beer.
No.
Tony, this was the 13th race of the regular season. We are halfway through the regular season. Anything surprising you there, sir?
Some names popping up at the top of the chart that I wasn't looking for, you know, coming into the year. Stenhouse, you know, and some of those guys, Jamie McMurray, and some guys that aren't winning races and running away like I thought, maybe like Chase Elliott.
Yeah,
I thought Chase would have had
a win by now.
I thought he would have had a win easily by now.
You know, Michigan was one of his dad's favorite places, and we're coming up to Michigan.
They do like to go fast.
You know, Tony, for me, the big thing is Joe Gibbs Racing, winless, 13 races.
Yeah.
I think they had five races at this point last year.
Yeah.
That just shows the level of competition out there on Sunday.
I think that's about to change. I think the tides.
They're due. They're going to.
The tide's swaying over.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tony, we're off to my favorite track this weekend, sir.
Pocono.
You know, and I like the concept of the track. I think it's cool that they tried to dial in three different individual racetracks. The Brickyard, I think Daytona, and I forget the third, that each turn is supposed to try to mirror one of those tracks. I think that's a cool concept. I just think the setups of the car are just so, you know, I think most of the race, the leader is probably going to have a 3 to 4 second lead, you know, and that's what's going to stink. You know, you're not going to have a ton of cautions this weekend. So that's
for me, it's whose engine's going to hold together.
Because that's what's going to be the exciting thing to see.
They are twisting those motors hard at this track. Really, really hard.
Yeah. Yep.
So they got to hold together.
Yes, sir. Tony, anything else from the weekend?
No, I'm, we'll get into it a little bit, you know, the tire wear and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I saw Landon Castle said He said that the walls are really sturdy at Pocono.
Dover.
I mean, yeah, Dover.
Dover. Yeah.
At Dover. He's like, I kept hitting them, and they were just they're sturdy.
Yeah. good foundation there. Tony, did you see a little story about Danica Patrick and Stuart Haas?
I've been seeing lots of stories.
You know,
I think we are in for an epic silly season.
You know, and it's funny because attributed the silly season to giving us a show for about 5-6 weeks before Daytona started. We weren't sure if we were going to have enough material for shows, and sponsors and all that was giving us a lot to talk about when we got started here, and it's shaping up to be the same next year. There was a story on ESPN or J-Ski, whatever the hell you want to call it, that I don't like to speculate too much, but there's talk that this might be the last year for Danica Patrick at Stuart Haas Racing, even though she signed through 2018. Stuart Haas has some sponsorship issues with Nature's Bakery pulling out with their deal with Danica. Clint Bowyer came over to fill the 14. Only had Mobil 1 for a couple races. Gene Haas is on there.
Yeah, Haas is self-sponsoring.
Right, yeah, basically, yeah. So, Tony, what do you think about that in terms of, you know, would if right? This is all if. We're just looking for something to talk about here, really. If this is holding true, does she get another ride? Does Stuart Haas drop to 3?
Honestly, I don't think she goes anywhere. I think, if anything, she'll probably come back, maybe a limited schedule.
Okay.
You know, just limited.
Big races.
Limited sponsorship, limited schedule.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. You know, I mean, you still got to have money. You know, and if you don't have the sponsors, and you know, you can't just keep running cars out there. So, so that's plausible.
You know, I don't know. Like I said, obviously, it's all speculation. But I thought it was interesting, and for J-Ski and ESPN to put that out there.
Yeah,
I think they're. You know, there might be some tread to that a little bit. You know,
there's a little smoke and
fire. Little bit.
But you know, speaking of Stuart Haas, though, I was looking at this. So, things are changing in the landscape of NASCAR, who the drivers are. I mean, you know, we're getting some retiring. We got Junior retiring, Art Edwards retiring. You know, Matt Kenseth is, 46,
yeah.
I think. The Biff.
Stewart and Gordon over the last couple of years.
Stewart and Gordon win at 45 and 46.
Yeah.
So look at Stewart Haas race. I mean,
they have an older stable.
Harvick is 41.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, he's in how much longer has he run?
Well, he just signed a new 5-year deal. So
and that might be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, so Kurt Busch is, I think, 38, 39. So is Bowyer. So
they got a good thing with Cole Custer in the Xfinity, but they still could potentially still have 2 to 3 spots to fill.
Yeah.
Over the next 5 years.
You know,
I'm looking
5 years out. I mean, that entire organization
is going to change. Absolutely.
100% different.
Couldn't agree more.
So,
Another thing that was out there to add to the irresponsible speculation is that Penske wants to add Ryan Blaney as a third driver. I know you're a Penske guy. You like Bad Brad.
Yeah.
I know you're a Wood Brothers fan, and I'd like to get your take on that, sir.
You know, essentially they are a Penske team.
Right.
I mean, you know,
aside from the Wood Brothers sponsor and logo for the most part.
Well, they call it the Wood Brothers, but let me tell you, it ain't the Wood Brothers in their 2-car garage working on this car.
Right.
You know, it just isn't. It's coming out of the Penske stables and, you know, all their stuff. So essentially it is. So. Now, who goes over to the Wood Brothers? You know, that's what I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything. It's something that we'll keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
And follow up with. But, you know, so Roger Penske has this thing. He really likes the aggressive and almost like, you know, obnoxious, aggressive drivers. In every series. I don't care if it's Trans Am or Indy cars or whatever. He wants the guys that are, you know, they're going for it at all times, and Mr. Blaney would fit into that mold.
I think so.
Perfectly.
I think so.
So,
Tony, one other story that came out that I was very excited about, and I hope I'm not building myself up for a letdown, is that there's talk of some changes to the 2018 point system. Now, with my excitement comes the, we just changed it. Could we give it a minute? But I think there are a couple big changes that they could make that would enhance the system. And the first deals with Xfinity and the truck series. And that is they need to award the stages for stage one and stage two. They need to pay out first place points to whoever the Xfinity or truck regular is. I mean, that only makes sense. That's only going to enhance that series for those regulars, in my opinion. And Tony, there's talk of adding more bonus points, maybe adding more stages to the key races like they did for the Coke 600.
The
Daytona, the Coke 600, the Brickyard, and the Southern 500 at Darlington. You know, I'm okay with that. I don't think that's – I think the stage additions for those races are not a bad idea there. And one other thing that I think they have to do, and we're gonna I'm going to talk about this with my lapped down pick this week, is they got to get rid of that overtime line. It's got to go. See ya. That's what needs to happen with that.
That was bad.
Yes.
Bad. But you know what? I saw this on social media too, but NASCAR, they're pretty responsive to what the fans are asking for, but at some point they got to stop it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that gets to the, all right, well, they just made the changes, you know?
Yeah, we just made these changes. Sorry, dude. You know, we're not, I understand, whatever.
Yep.
You know, so I, on one hand, it's like,
absolutely.
I like the fact that they are listening to the fans. But I think almost too much.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we don't need to shuffle the deck every week.
Nope. Yeah. So. No, I agree. Tony, the announcement came out that Bubba Wallace is going to drive the 43 car this week, at least.
Well, we had speculated that a while back, and it did exactly what they wanted to do. That car was on every website and every, you know, everything, everywhere, every sports page in the country.
Yeah. It's interesting, and you and I were talking about this via text yesterday when we saw it, you know, is what can we expect, you know? If he brings home a top five on Sunday, it's, you know, it's going to get chalked up, oh, you know, lucky, you know, media. And if he crashes, you know, it doesn't damage RPM in terms of, hey, they got their attention that they needed out of it. You know, what's... Where are you at on that?
I'm not a Bubba Wallace hater, but I'm not a Bubba Wallace fan. I think there's faster guys out there.
Yeah,
I really do, and I'm glad that he's getting an opportunity. But you know, facts of the matter, he can't hold a sponsor. The sixth team is closed. Right?
That boggles my mind.
So here's a couple. We'll go back in the timeline a little bit. I mean, because I'm like, all right, I remember, you know, I've watched Bubba Wallace, but I want to go back and make sure I got my facts right. You know, he's been in Xfinity for 3 years. He hasn't won a race.
Yep.
Last time he won a race was in a truck in 2014 or something.
Might have been Eldora.
I think it was, actually, after Kyle Larson wrecked.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he did get suspended by NASCAR in 2015.
Yep.
Probation, I should say. He was on probation.
Yeah.
That's the proper term. So, anyways, I dug around, and I found there's a Bob Pockrass article. This is from the end of 2014. So, I mean, he came up as a Joe Gibbs racing development driver. So this is a direct quote. I mean, I printed it out. I wanted to read it. So this is Kyle Busch on, you know, talks, because that's where he went as Kyle Busch Motorsports in the trucks. And he said he doesn't understand it. He says, we are unsuccessful in selling this guy for the truck. His agency was unsuccessful of selling him. Joe Gibbs Racing has been unsuccessful in selling him. We have three or four sales forces trying to sell Darrell Wallace, and we can't. I don't know if it's because of the series or what, but we struck out.
Wow. That's crazy.
Right? And this is from 14.
Right? Yeah.
You know, now here is a couple years later, he's at
Roush.
Yeah. And the number six car is on the shelf.
Yeah.
Done.
So two things to that for me. One, when I heard that, you know, I guess there's been talk about sponsor issues for the six for a while. I didn't realize that. So when I heard about this a week or so ago, it struck me like Red Horse Racing, like out of the blue, like from a standing standpoint in Xfinity, Bubba Wallace is actually doing pretty good.
Yeah.
He's actually fourth in the standings. Yeah. And that was the same with Red Horse Racing. They were sitting sixth and 10th and just gone, you know. So you got a guy that's sixth in the standings and, you know, could make a run for the championship, and boom, done. So from the sponsor, I don't get that, because from everything I've seen and heard, he's a personable guy. He'll do anything for you on social media. Like, it's crazy.
But apparently, so if Kyle Busch Motorsports can't find a sponsor, yeah. Joe Gibbs Racing just quit.
Yeah.
They gave up on him and gave him his release.
Yeah.
They can't find a sponsor for him. Roush Racing can't find a sponsor for him.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, you got to have sponsors in your car.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, period.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Nice guy or not or whatever. I don't understand it, you know, why he's having that hard of a time. But I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's, you know, I know everyone on social media is, like you said, you know, not a hater, you know. And I'm indifferent.
On it.
No, I'm curious. I hope he's able to make something of the opportunity. You know, and that the bummer is he's probably not going to get enough seat time to make or break it,
right.
You know, and that's the downfall. And then he's, you know, like you said, the six team's gone. When this is done, he doesn't have a ride for the rest of 2017.
Period.
And that's hard to come back from in terms of being able to line something up for next year.
When you sit out a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I mean, you know, Clint Bowyer, he had a. You know, he had an H. Scott ride, but he was out of it. I mean, and like disappeared off the map. You know, he was there, but he wasn't there. I mean, you know, it's hard to come back from.
And he's doing a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
no question he could drive.
And I think people forgot he could drive.
Yeah.
You know, like he had the fallout with Michael Waltrip Racing, and then, you know, H. Scott literally was just a blip on the radar. And here he is, you know. Competing top tens, top fives. So,
yeah.
Like I said, I hope it works out in terms of him being able to at least get something again, whether it's truck or Xfinity. But yeah, it's crazy that someone with that type of personality and character isn't able to hold sponsorship.
Right. And, you know, we talked about this too before the show, but, you know, he's 23, but he's an old 23.
Yeah.
You know, he got in so young. He's been around 5 or 6 years now. And he hasn't busted through, you know.
Yeah.
And now, you know, all the guys we just talked about, Cole Custer, Daniel Hemric, you know, Byron, all these guys.
They're knocking on the door.
They're knocking on the door, and he's not able to hold them off.
Yeah.
You know, right now on the track or with sponsors right now. So the landscape is changing. And you know, who was it? Brian Keselowski said it.
I was just going to say that, man. Yeah.
You know, 23 years old is old.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
it's like a pitcher in baseball.
As an up-and-coming driver, it's pretty crazy. But, yeah, good luck to him. You know, obviously, you know, I'm a big Richard Petty Motorsports fan, so hope they do well. I really do. But just strange.
Yes,
just,
sir.
Their way.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, sir. Tony, you ready to go to work?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith.
All right, welcome to the 12th edition of the Crew Chief Corner. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd, with the Crew Chief of the Lap Traffic, Tony Smith. What up?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Welcome. Tony, one of today's questions comes to us from Mick at GoDucks41_Mick. Tony. Some sponsor trouble, it seems, with Stuart Haas, some other teams. Do you think some of these bigger teams might go down to three in 2018?
I do, actually. If not 2018, 2019. I mean, we lost, you know, great clips, I should say.
Yeah.
Casey Kane.
That's big.
That's big.
Right.
You know, and we're all talking about, you know, who's going to replace Junior in the 88. Well, the fact of the matter is Dale Earnhardt Jr., the most popular driver, has had trouble getting sponsors over the last few years.
Yeah.
You know, used to have Budweiser, boom, for the whole year. It's not that way. They're mixing it up all the time, and they've got some sponsors. They got Exalta over from the 24, and they get Mountain Dew, and they're piecing it together. Fact of the matter is, you know, you put somebody else in that car. Are all those sponsors coming back to that car? It's not a guarantee.
You know, Tony, we talked about this in one of our early, early shows about sponsors, and we ran through the list of teams that didn't have full sponsorship, and, you know, it's changing. The old days of DuPont and Jeff Gordon for 36 races, done.
Yeah.
Budweiser doesn't even sponsor cars anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, like, it's the amount of money, they want you in victory lane, and some of these teams, Casey Kane, you know, great driver, great guy, great personality. Just not getting it done on the track to where they're feeling a return on the investment there.
Yeah. I mean, Nature's Bakery and you know, well, we just talked about, you know, Kurt Busch, they're self-sponsored, you know, on the 41 car. So you can only sustain this for so long, and hopefully they attract, you know, new sponsors and get some of these replaced. But, you know, it's a transition right now.
Well, you know, and the thing too, you know, if a sponsor wants to come on, you know, maybe a one-off sponsor local to the location of the race that weekend. The problem is it's not just the sponsorship money for the car, the logo on the car and the money for the weekend, but new crew chief equipment and
driver
uniforms,
suit, driver
like
suits and helmets.
There's a lot that goes into that, you know, and it's that's where I think guys like when we had Landon Castle on and Brian Keselowski and all these guys talking about the amount of money that's going into and the cost to sponsor a car, that's something that needs to be evaluated to a level that
something
to a degree.
Really, really interesting. We haven't talked about this yet. Really interesting. It was to me that was just announced in the last week. Hulu as a full sponsorship of Jeffrey Earnhardt. Okay, so here, I would love to know the numbers too, right? But you'll never hear them. But I'm sure that they can sponsor that entire car and have Hulu on every piece of that car cheaper than they could probably have a rear bumper on Jimmy Johnson's car.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, so it's all about how many people are going to see it. I mean, if you can get a whole car.
That's the thing, yeah. Yep.
You know, so it's just, you know, bang for your buck.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know, you know, Earnhardt's, I'm not looking for him in Victory Lane anytime soon, but, you know, you will see him out there. You will see him on TV. You're going to see the entire car is going to say Hulu.
Yeah.
And
you know, Hulu is big enough where they're going to draw attention to Jeffrey Earnhardt based on their name, not the driver bringing attention to the sponsor.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's actually probably a plus for Jeffrey Earnhardt to have Hulu than it is for Hulu to be on Jeffrey Earnhardt.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think you could get a small decal.
Yeah.
On some of the front cars.
Yeah.
You know, for what I'm sure they're getting the whole car.
Yeah. Yeah.
For so yep. You know, big win for both of them.
Absolutely. Tony, quick question for me. What was with the shredding of the tires? Like, it was an odd wear on some of the tires with the cup, at least on Sunday.
Well, yeah. And Xfinity had the same problem. So what it is really is this, that track doesn't get used a lot. The concrete is abrasive. Anybody that's ever tripped and fell on a sidewalk, you know, just look at your hands.
Right.
Okay. And that's what it's like on those tires until they get rubber down. So especially if you go up high, you go in that second groove. You don't want to be the first guy to do that.
No.
Right? You know, because that's what was happening. They're even though, you know, truthfully, like Landon Castle and some of these guys, the backmark guys, right? They got to move up high and go offline to let the leaders through, right? So when they're doing that, they're going up high where there's no rubber and they're chewing up their tires. The next thing you know, well, you know, we already talked about it, Landon Castle's bouncing off the wall like he's, you know, in a video game, you know. You just don't want to be up high. It's really abrasive up there, but sometimes, you know, that place is still so tight, you don't have a choice sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to pass a guy on the outside. You got to go out there, you know, and to be fair, I mean, some of these guys were pretty aggressive on their setups and that didn't help either, but just an abrasive track.
Well, you've talked about that camber with the setups, and I would have to imagine the more camber you have in on a concrete track is going to cause more wear.
It is.
On
well,
those tires.
You know, it's going to give you more speed too.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of
give and take
which one's going to you know
who's going to win?
Uh huh. Yeah. What's going to happen first? You're going to win the race. You're going to blow a tire.
Right.
You know. So
yes.
You got to go for it though. So
good deal.
Yep. Good questions.
Tony, lucky dog.
Let's go.
Who's your lucky dog of the race there, sir?
Lucky dog. So we got to do lucky dog, and then who is?
A lap down.
Lap down. You know what? I'm going to go. Here's who I'm giving props to this week.
Okay.
Fox Sports.
Okay.
For not showing that nut job that climbed on the fence.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't mention it, didn't show
no.
it, didn't happen, don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So that's who I'm...
It's Not to go off on a tangent here, but it's funny you say that, and it's funny we had a guy that's a WWE fan that joined us. But, Tony, there have been numerous times where an idiot has jumped the barricade and tried to get into the ring, and the cameras for that will not show it if they can avoid it. Because if someone sees it, oh, hey, I'm going next week. Yeah. Let me go and do that. And that's intelligence on their part, celebrate an idiot.
So
you know,
kudos to them.
Absolutely. Tony, for me, I'm giving my lucky dog to Kyle Busch. Credit where credit is due. And to have the issues that they had and to bounce back, that's my lucky dog.
Yep, I agree.
Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Martin Truex. In his team.
You are not the only person to do that, sir.
Got to finish races, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's great you won stage one. It's great you won stage two. How about winning the race now?
There you go.
They're doing something. I mean, I would say they're doing something at the end of the race, but I think the fact of the matter is they're not doing something. I think he's coming in going, car's fine, leave it alone.
Yeah.
And the other guys behind him, Larson's and Johnson's and those guys, are making more adjustments again and again and again and making their car better and better.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you got to close the deal.
Sure. Yes, sir.
So,
yep. For me, Tony, and I'm doing it again, and I hate to do it, but I'm putting the overtime line a lap down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jimmy Johnson.
You aren't the only one.
No, Jimmy Johnson probably would have won that race regardless, but that was a long race. 15 cautions. That race went a long time. The fans there deserve to see the race end at the start-finish line.
I agree.
Under checkers, not under caution. There shouldn't be a reason why they couldn't line them up again. If you don't take, I get taking the white flag. If you take the white flag and the caution comes out, fine. But if you don't take the white flag, line them up.
I agree with that.
Now, what sucked it would have taken a long time to clean that up.
It was going
to
be a red flag.
Yes.
It was going to be the next one that they saw because that was a junkyard.
It was. But still, if I'm a fan, I would have stuck it out for that. I want to see that race under, you know. So for me, that is really a sensitive subject, and I hope that's something they change next year. Tony, over to some listener picks. Hugh, lucky dog, the fans at Dover for getting to see a great race. Lap down, tires for Hugh. Stacy's lucky dog, Danica, for rebounding and getting a top 10.
Yeah, and she did.
Dude, at one point in the race, she was the top driver on the track for Stuart Haas Racing, which that's pretty crazy. And she's putting Junior's crew chief a lap down for some awful calls.
Oh, she's cracking on Junior.
Yeah, she is.
Oh,
yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Mick, Jimmy Johnson for his last restart is his lucky dog.
That was big.
And Mick's putting the overtime line a lap down. I'm right there with you, brother. New to the lap traffic, Jeffrey Whitler, lucky dog, Ross Chastain for running all three races, and lap down, Joey Logano. AJ, I'm not going to get this last name right, Evangelista, lucky
dog. I think you hit it.
I think I might hit that. Lucky dog goes to Junior for almost getting a top 10, if not for that wreck, and lap down to the 18 crew. Troy Cole, lucky dog, goes to the 48 for Ty and Kale Yarbrough. Lap down the 18. Yes, sir. Tommy, lucky dog, Kyle Busch, for the tire man not getting his hand tore off. And the lap down for Tommy is the 78 for getting pissed off on the radio at Kyle Larson for not pulling over.
Yeah.
Tony, you know what's funny with the listeners' picks is some of the listeners giving the lucky dog for the same reason people are giving the lap down. And I think that's cool, just a different fan perspective there.
I almost gave my lap down to Ryan Blaney for breaking another axle.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's on him.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, when the car hits the ground, then you go. But when the wheels are spinning and it drops and you hits the concrete and it takes off, that's how you snap axles.
Yep.
And he's done it twice. So, anyways.
Oh, well. Ready for some odds?
I'm ready to get odd.
we're oddballs, that's for damn sure. Let's see. Last week for Dover, I put Jimmy Johnson at plus 500. He came in at plus 350. I put Martin Truex at plus 700. He came in at plus 400. I put Kyle Busch at plus 800. He came in at plus 5. Kevin Harvick, I put at plus 9. He came in at plus 14. And in honor of Sherwin from the PETM podcast being on the show last week, I put Casey Kane on my list at plus 1,500. Tony, he came in at plus 7,000. I was way off on that. So those were my odds for last week. Pocono this week, Tony, I'm putting Truex as my odds on favorite at plus 450. Kyle Busch at plus 700. Denny Hamlin at plus 900. Joey Logano at plus 1,200. And in honor of Bubba Wallace getting his first cup start, Tony, I'm putting him at plus 2,500, which is low. I'm going to assume he's going to be more around the plus 10,000 mark.
That's what I would...
But I'm betting a lot of money's going to come in on him just because of the spectacle of him being there.
Sure.
So I'm adjusting my line accordingly there, sir.
Got it.
Let's see. Last week, Tony, I had Brad Keselowski finish 38th. Not too well there.
You were close.
I was close. Tony, you had the 20 who finished 13. Sherwin from the PETM also had Matt Kenseth finish 13th, and Rusty had Ryan Blaney who finished 32nd.
Did they say who?
We'll find out on Thursday. So we'll see how we do against those guys this week. Tony, who you got this week for Pocono?
Joey Logano.
22. Not a bad pick there,
sir. Double
deuce. Tony, I am going to go with the 18 of Kyle Busch. I think Joe Gibbs might get it done this weekend.
Yep. Wouldn't rule that out.
Yes, sir. Tony, before we close things out here, most of you guys have probably seen on Twitter, if you follow us, Ashley J. Stang. We had our Strange with Stang segment last week. Ashley is doing an online charity fundraiser for MS. Ashley was diagnosed with MS and is now an active advocate for kicking MS's ass. So I'm going to try to put a link up on our website that'll take you right to her page where you can donate online.
Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to retweet it out. We're going to send a little donation ourselves over there on behalf of the Lab Traffic. She's been a great fan, supporter of the show.
She is
a real good person. Yes.
She's awesome.
Yes. So we love her, and we're going to try to help her get her goal. 10,000 is her goal, but she knows a lot of people, so I'm pretty confident she's gonna reel that in, no problem.
Man, it all counts.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever, 10 bucks counts, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it all goes.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you guys can, and you want to help Ashley and support her MS cause, we'll have some info out on that on social media.
Yeah. So, hey, man, in wrapping up, big thanks to Michigan International Speedway Track President Rick Brenner for
absolutely
joining us.
That was very cool. I can't wait.
Man, it sounds like it'll be a circus out there. It's
right?
Gonna be awesome.
Fire shows and gorillas.
Yeah,
and
right? I mean,
that's not been at MIS before.
Oh, in the race.
Oh, and the
you
race.
Know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Fridays, taxis.
Friday and Saturdays free for kids. I mean,
dude, MIS does it right.
And so many things right.
I'm excited to see. And it's funny, you know, he mentioned we hadn't really even talked about the racing. We were just talking about the stuff that was going on there. And I'm excited to see how the stages play out at MIS.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. So thanks again to Rick Brenner joining us. Next week we'll be talking about fantasy, Pocono. Maybe another guest.
Maybe.
We're working on something there.
I've thrown the lure out to a few, and we'll see if we get a bite.
We'll see. If not, man, we'll be getting ready for Michigan.
Hell yeah.
So thanks again for joining us. Make sure to listen every week, or otherwise you will be left out.
See ya!